Mom, I love you. I miss you. And happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Dear Culture family, and happy Mother's Day. Welcome to a special edition of the Dear Culture podcast, where our special guest is Mr. Byron Allen, the CEO of Entertainment Studios and the proud owner of The Griot.
I'm your co-host, Natasha S. Alford.
And I am your other co-host, Todd Johnson, the Chief Content Officer at The Griot.
And in this episode, we're asking, Dear Culture, how do we as Black people take care of our own community?
The man of the hour in the building. It's Byron Allen, CEO of Entertainment Studios, owner of the Weather Channel and The Griot. How's it going, Byron?
It's going great. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So, Byron, we know that Sunday is Mother's Day, and your mother played a pivotal role in your life, your career. She's the reason why you're in entertainment. What would you say to your mom as a Mother's Day message? And what would you say to all moms right now, especially during this tough time?
Mom, I love you, I miss you, and happy Mother's Day. And I want to say to all the mothers out there, we love and appreciate you, and without you, none of this is possible.
We're excited because we have this Feeding America Comedy Festival coming up.
You know, Byron, I know you can speak to it. This is a big initiative from you and your company and your partners, such as ourselves at The Griot. And the Weather Channel. But, you know, basically during this coronavirus pandemic, everyone's home. There's a lot going on. People are in need of food and security and help. And this is your way to lend a helping hand, right?
Absolutely. You know, I'm sitting at home during this pandemic. I was truly taken back by the images of hardworking Americans in lines in their cars for 8 hours trying to get a box of food for their families. And it's heartbreaking, and it's completely unacceptable that we would have food insecurity in this nation for hardworking people across this country. So I said, let's do something about it, and picked up a mobile phone and started smiling and dialing and calling a number of my very funny friends. And thank goodness they all said yes. And I said, let's do something. I have this idea, the Feeding America Comedy Festival. We want to raise money for Feeding America, which is really a phenomenal organization. They're able to put a meal on the table for about 10 cents a meal. So $100 can buy 1,000 meals. And I said, let's lean in and help these good people raise money to help a lot of other good people. Everybody said yes. So it's just been amazing. That started about almost 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and you have some heavy hitters in this lineup. Everyone from Eddie Murphy to Chris Rock, Cedric the Entertainer, Whoopi Goldberg, the list kind of goes on with some new additions.
Yeah, it's been great. You know, I'm going to co-host the event with Kenan Thompson from Saturday Night Live and Tiffany Haddish and Billy Crystal. And we've got a lot of amazing people who've come on board since we originally announced. When we originally announced, you know, my very first call was Kevin Hart. And then, you know, I kept smiling and dialing, and, you know, we signed up Tiffany Haddish and Adam Sandler, Billy Crystal, Chris Rock, Eddie Murphy, George Lopez, Howie Mandel, Louis Anderson, Dion Cole, you name it. Everybody's just come through and has been phenomenal. Mike Epps. Mike always puts a smile on your face, makes you laugh. And it's just been phenomenal. Wanda Sykes is a lot of fun. She's fantastic. And it's something that's really special because this has never been done before, obviously, because we're in a pandemic. No one's really ever produced a 2-hour network television comedy event remotely. Everybody, I mean, literally, you're probably, you know, talking, 100 plus people working remotely to put together this event. You know, you got Brad Garrett over here, and, you know, you've got, you know, Jamie Kennedy over here. You've got people all over the country shooting it, and everybody's very creative. I think people will find it very funny, and they will be blown away at the creativity. Eddie Murphy, he's got a character he's introducing us to that the world has never seen.
Oh, wow. That's a big get. Eddie Murphy,
like,
to come.
Like,
you got Eddie to come out now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's great. I mean, you know, Eddie's just a really good guy, has a big heart. You know, look, a lot of the comedians are really taken aback by what we're seeing, what we're witnessing. And everybody's really going the extra mile to make sure that, you know, families don't, you know, are not worried about their next meal. And that's what was extremely important to me and all of us. How can we help? And, you know, we're sitting around and, you know, this is how lonely these people are, these comedians are. When on my mobile phone, I have a no caller ID. It's no caller ID. So when I called them, they didn't even know it was me calling.
And they still picked up the phone.
They answered the phone anyway. That's how lonely they are. I could have been a bill collector and they could care less. They were like, I am happy to talk to a bill collector. Thank you for calling me. And so they all, you know, they all picked up and we said, let's get this show on the road.
And Byron, you know this more than anybody. I mean, even during such a tough time as we're living in right now, could you just talk about why you believe that laughter is truly like just a great medicine, especially in times like these?
You know, laughter is definitely one of the best medicines. And a lot of people out there are feeling obviously very isolated, very alone, very concerned about their future. And a lot of people are being, you know, stretched like never before. And we just want people to know that we're there for them, that we will always be there for them. We care about them and we're here to support them. And that this is a rough patch and we're gonna get through it. And it's a speed bump and we're gonna look back at it and we're gonna be stronger and better because of it.
You talked about food insecurity, and one thing that is linked to that as well is just the economic insecurity of this time. There's so many Black business owners right now who are struggling. They're saying that 95% weren't even able to access the PPP coronavirus funding that first went out. And so you, as a Black business owner, when you think of what you would say to other Black entrepreneurs and folks who, you know, put everything into their dreams right now and they're worried about their future, how would you encourage them in this moment?
Listen, great question. I think persistence is key. I think we have to quickly establish those relationships with the banks as fast as we can. Keep smiling and dialing until we find a bank that's willing to sponsor us so you can apply for the PPP, the SBAs, grants, loans. It's not easy. A lot of the people, from what I can gather, a lot of the people who were able to access it quickly were the ones who had the relationships with the banks. Unfortunately, a lot of us as African-American entrepreneurs don't have those relationships with those banks at the level in which they were able to quickly access those funds. So we have to close that gap quickly. And so I think that's an important step. I think that a lot's being done. A lot of folks are leaning in, such as myself, talking to representatives and saying, what can you do to make sure that, you know, African-Americans, minorities in this country have fair access to the stimulus package and make sure that it isn't so hard to get it. So more is being done in that area and a lot more needs to be done. And I believe a lot more will be done because it is a concern and it is being addressed. I've been assured by certain politicians as well that that is a top key talking point. I believe there are going to be a number of packages along the way to shore up this economy. And I do believe that we will participate as a community. And I think it's important. I think there's a lot going on. I think we need to also lean in on our politicians, all the individuals out there. You need to lean in on your politicians and you need to say, hey, this is important. Make sure we, as African-American entrepreneurs and businesses, and we are, you know, that's the largest employer of people in this country, small businesses. So we're one of the largest employers of ourselves because of our businesses throughout the country. So we need to lean in on those politicians and say, you have to protect and make sure that we are fairly treated in these stimulus packages. That's very important. Also make sure that these food banks like Feeding America are included in the stimulus packages and they get more than enough support so that they don't have to worry about running out of food and supplies. And also I think we need to really have a good heart-to-heart conversation with our representatives because remember, they work for you. You know, I always say politicians are nothing more than temporary hired help. And you need to talk to them and say, hey, let's talk about SNAP because SNAP really needs to get a great deal of support. You know, that's like modern day. When I was growing up, the equivalent of SNAP would have been food stamps. But today it's a debit card. And you take that card and you can go into a supermarket and get what you need and then they debit it. Unfortunately, in some cases, there's only $4 a day on SNAP, $4. You can't do much with $4 in a supermarket. I think that needs to be increased to a minimum of at least $20 per person per day, per household. And that's not a lot of money, because when you think about, let's say, you know, if one third of the nation, if 100 million Americans use SNAP at that level, at $20 a day, you know, that's only $2 billion a day. That's about $60 billion a month. And over the course of, let's call it 3 months, that's $180 billion. And that's $180 billion out of $4 trillion. And if you had 200 million Americans, two thirds of our nation, use SNAP at that level at $20 a day, that'd be $360 billion over a 90-day period. And that would still be less than 10% of the stimulus package that has been allocated. And if you ask, you know, somebody like Feeding America, they would say, you know, it's challenging. We don't really, we're not equipped to have this many people show up at our door at this given, at any given time like this. We would prefer that SNAP kicked in, the government kicked in with the, you know, the debit cards, and send people to the supermarkets and take away, you know, some of the, what I consider to be ridiculous restrictions. Like, you know, by example, women can't buy feminine hygiene products, which is absurd. The only restrictions I believe that should be, and this is just my personal opinion, but I believe should be on SNAP, you know, we won't pay for your alcohol and we won't pay for your cigarettes. Other than that, go into the supermarket and get whatever you need for your family. I think that's a very important thing that we can do as individuals, reach out to our politicians and say, listen, it's important, lean in, really get real support for SNAP, really get that support at a level where people can have it and really take care of their families.
Yeah.
These food banks, like a Feeding America, they would share with you, we think it would be a much better move to make sure the government leans in and support SNAP at a level where it can really impact the emergency situation that we're in now. You know, that's why we don't want all of these lines, you know, for hours and hours around, you know, the block. You have families sitting in their cars for 8 hours trying to get a box of food, and they're not even sure there's going to be enough food when they get there. So I would say, as individuals, you have a lot of power. I think it's important to hold your politicians and your representatives accountable, and to make sure you remember they're there to serve you, and you need service more than ever right now. And to reach out to them and say, hey, make sure these food banks are in the stimulus program, and make sure in a significant way, and make sure that you really get SNAP on track the right way, because SNAP could take that away, or take this problem away in a nanosecond.
Yeah, I think with this pandemic, maybe it was not realized, at least initially, but I don't know, you know, Black folks, we make up 12-13% of the population, but you see the proportion of the cases, the positive cases that we make up in high Black populated counties are over half, and some 60% of the actual deaths of coronavirus are Black. There is sort of a sense from our audience at the Griot and some of the pieces we've been publishing that this particular administration and sort of the national discussion, there's just not enough discussion, I should say, about that fact. And it just doesn't seem anyone is looking out or acknowledging that that's such a sad fact. I guess, what would you say to our audience at the Griot, folks that are reading our stories and may feel that, you know, this conversation is not being had on a national level, that this virus impacts Black folks disproportionately?
You know, I think once again, this is when you lean in on your politicians, your representatives, and your community, and ask them, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do to protect our community? What are you going to do to make sure we have enough support, make sure we keep our businesses, our homes, our jobs, and make sure that we have enough supplies in our community and our hospitals are well equipped to really address this pandemic and how hard it's hitting our community? You have every right to ask, and you should ask. We need to ask. I'm always asking. You know, I'm on the phone with our representatives and saying, hey, you got to do more. We need to do more. How do we make sure that, you know, this is addressed or that is addressed? And you have the power to do the same. You know, call them, email them, write them, let them know what's important, because If you don't speak up, you will be forgotten. If you don't remind them that you have a vote, you will be forgotten. And what I will say is a number of our representatives, they are sincere in their heart and wanting to help us and represent us properly. And they sometimes need our feedback on the best way to represent us. And, you know, and a little bit of guidance and also clarity back and forth. What are you thinking? And here's what we're thinking. And here's what's important to us. It's because we're in the field and we want to share this with you as we're on the front line ourselves, as families on the front line, dealing with these setbacks.
Yes, and that activism that you're talking about, on the Griot, you'll see an interview with Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who advocated for money for small minority-owned and women-owned businesses. And then we're doing a whole series on the Griot about Black businesses and how they're innovating in this moment, because we don't take things lying down, we fight back, you know? So I think that's really powerful.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who I love and adore, and I think she has done she does a phenomenal job, and she continues to do a phenomenal job for her community and this country. But that's great. She has set a wonderful example. Now, based on what she just did or what she has done and what she is doing, now you're free to say to all of the representatives, and why aren't you leaning in? Why aren't you stepping up? There are no excuses. Look at Congresswoman Maxine Waters, because Maxine Waters, she's an excellent example of a wonderful representative. And I think that's important that she did it, and that you're able to now reach out and say, we need more from you. Whether it's Senator Cory Booker or Senator Kamala Harris, not to say that they're not doing anything or not doing enough, but every African-American in this country should know what every politician in this country is doing for you or not doing for you, or doing against you, because your vote matters. And I can tell you, before you know it, it's going to be November and people are going to be asking for your love and your vote. Well, the love, you need to send the love my way today and earn my vote tomorrow. And that conversation starts right now. You know, you need to step up for me. Don't ask me to step up for you. And you have every right to reach out to Joe Biden's campaign and say, Joe, are you going to be an advocate for us, for our community? Are you going to lean in and make sure that we are not excluded from the stimulus packages? You know, your right to vote is a very powerful tool, and you have to use it. And if you don't use it, then you will be left behind.
And it sounds like you're saying it's possible, because you have said that you support Vice President Joe Biden, but you're saying it's possible to both support the nominee and hold them accountable for doing specific things for the Black community, basically have an agenda.
Once again, I'll just speak for myself. My support comes with an agenda. My support is not free. And I'm loud and proud about my agenda. There are things that I want you to do. There are things I need from you. This goes back to President Obama. You know, I want you to do more for the Black community. You know, I want to make sure that, you know, African Americans are getting fair access to capital that's not predatory. I want you to make sure that we're part of the $1 trillion government worker pension fund, that we're part of the United States government budgets, that you're making sure that when things like the stimulus package comes down, we're not excluded. These are things that, if you go on the record with these politicians, they're putting their careers at risk by ignoring you, especially when you've gone on the record and said, this is important, what are you gonna do? That you have to ask that question. Hey, hi, yeah, I'm Todd, this is important, I'm Byron, this is important, what are you gonna do? And they owe you that answer, and they owe you that response, and they owe you the fact that they need to live up to what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
And we have to be we have to be very vigilant about it, and we have to be focused on it, and we have to be sophisticated about it. There's a legal process, and there's a political process, and we have to just lean in and say, hey, let's get this done.
Byron, you always say that before we get killed in the streets, you know, we get killed in the boardrooms and in other places. And a huge case that our audience is talking about is the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, who was shot while running in Georgia. What would you say to people who feel anxious, disappointed in the justice system right now, and they're worried that justice won't happen. How do you address those anxieties and fears in Black America right now?
You know, this is another American tragedy. It's heartbreaking. I first read about the story and it was very disheartening. And then when you see the video, it left me speechless. It's something that is just evil, and goodness will always prevail over evil. And we have to be very vigilant, and we have to continue to campaign to stop that, to stop racism, to stop injustice. And we're gonna prevail. We always have, we always will. Finally, they were arrested, you know, and we're going to keep our faith. We're gonna say our prayers. We're gonna pray for justice. We're gonna pray for strength for his family. And that loss is just heartbreaking. And, you know, my condolences go out to his family. And that is just something that, unfortunately, we have seen this too many times. And enough's enough. And I think the most important thing we have to do is hold each and every person accountable to the fullest extent of the law. And I think people know that that's gonna happen, that we plan to hold politicians, elected officials, people who have jobs in public service. We have our eye on, which is why we have great organizations like the GRIA, good folks like you who keep an eye on it and keep our community informed and detailed, and it's unfiltered. It's not manipulated. It's not watered down. And that's why the GRIA is important, because we're able to really shine a light on things and make sure people know it's coming from our community with the utmost integrity. But that is heartbreaking. It is, quite frankly, it's one of the worst things I've ever witnessed.
Speaking of the legal process, your suit against Comcast, which started years ago, I believe 2015, recently the Supreme Court sent it back to the Ninth Circuit of Appeals. And folks are still wondering at this time, you know, where are you with everything? What are your feelings on that? Did you look at it as a setback? Are you rearing to go and move forward once we kind of get out of this mess? Why don't you give our audience just an update of where everything is at the moment?
Well, you know, the Supreme Court, they ruled on bringing clarity on how to interpret a certain civil rights statute, the Civil Rights Act of 1866, Section 1981. And they gave clarity on how to look at that, and then sent our case back to the Ninth Circuit, where we've had success in the Ninth Circuit. We always filed our case to meet the highest standard that they would possibly rule in favor of. That was never our concern, whether or not they would rule in our particular case, because I've always said our case, I felt, was fine. It was safe, because we always filed our case at the highest level in which they wanted us to interpret this particular civil rights statute. What we were hoping was that we would be able to have the lower standard for all the other cases today and in the future. So they're sending us back to the Ninth Circuit, which we're totally comfortable with. We had great success in the Ninth Circuit, which is why we ended up in the Supreme Court. And as far as the ruling on the statute, there's a way to fix that. And once again, we will lobby our representatives and we will go to them, and Congress can help bring greater clarity to that language and pretty much overrule the Supreme Court. And that is what we're planning to do, is to work with our representatives to make sure they bring the clarity to that particular statute, the Civil Rights Act of 1866, Section 1981. And it's been done before, and we will work with Congress to get it done again. So it needs to be bifurcated. There's the ruling of that language, how to interpret it, which I don't believe really impacts our case, because we always went for that. When we filed our case, we filed at that higher standard anyway. And now they've sent us back to the Ninth Circuit, where I'm very comfortable in the Ninth Circuit. And we've had enormous success. So there's our case, and then there is, how do you rule on other cases today and in the future? Well, we don't want the higher standard for other folks today and in the future. We want the lower standard. So we will work with our representatives to get the lower standard and to write it in a way that it's ruled. Everybody will look at their rulings based on the lower standard. but we will eventually get there. Once again, persistence will win.
Yeah.
Long game. This has been a great conversation. We're so excited about the Feeding America Comedy Festival and have to shout out that there is a woman of color. She is a Black woman, Claire Babineau-Fontenot. She's the CEO of Feeding America. So we're excited about that.
Claire is amazing. When this first hit, I reached out to her and I asked her, you know, how can I help? It was great chatting with her and first order of business. You know, she wanted to get, make sure that people knew that they were there for them. And so, you know, I made sure she was on the Weather Channel, which we own, and also with you at the Griot and our television stations that we own around the country and our cable networks. And I thought, you know, there's more that we can do and we should do. I called a buddy of mine, Al Roker, over at the Today Show, and he leaned in and got her on the show. And Michael Strahan over Good Morning America has shown support. And I think Van Jones over at CNN is doing something. So I reached out to my buddies and said, you know, you should be aware of Claire and the great work that she does. And they were very receptive. Her story is amazing. She's a lawyer and she was a major executive at Walmart. And she was one of the point executives. She's one of the executives on point in the relationship with Feeding America. And unfortunately, Claire was diagnosed with cancer one day, and she decided to leave Walmart and do something very philanthropic with her life. And she decided to run Feeding America because she was always impressed with the organization. Thank God, you know, she, after 5 years, she got her cancer-free report card, which is great news. And she's done a phenomenal job in running that organization. So, you know, I, you know, went to her and just said, I'd like to figure out if we can do something bigger. And I shared with her this idea, the Feeding America Comedy Festival. And she was very supportive. And we really appreciate her. And that organization does an amazing job. It is the largest network of food banks around the country. You know, there are a lot of good folks who need to know about them because they've been hit, you know, pretty hard because of the pandemic. Obviously, the need for their services increased, you know, 70%+. Unfortunately, the support decreased because a lot of the food was coming from the supermarket shelves. And instead of food going to waste, it would go to the network of food banks. But now the supermarket shelves are empty. So they've lost a lot of support there. And then the third big challenge for them all at once is that a lot of their volunteer workforce were people 70 years and older. So we just wanted to make people aware of the fact that this organization is here for you. That's number one. If you're in a position to donate, please do. All your support, even if it's 10 bucks, it all helps, it all matters. And if you feel comfortable volunteering, I'm sure they would love your help. So we just wanted to bring attention to that. And because it's much, much needed as we're, you know, unfortunately hitting record level unemployment.
They do amazing work. 200 food banks, by the way, across the country through Feeding America.
So Byron, this Sunday, May 10th is the big night for the Comedy Fest to support Feeding America. When people are watching all of the comedians do their funny sketches throughout the program, there's also going to be an opportunity for folks to donate to Feeding America, right? Online, is that how it's going to work?
That's right. You can donate now. You can go to feedingamerica.org/comedyfest, feedingamerica.org/comedyfest. So yeah, the special is a 2-hour comedy event. It's going to air on the Weather Channel. It's going to air on our network, comedy.tv, our free streaming app, Local Now. Please download Local Now. It's simple, it's free. You can download it in 20 seconds and we provide local news, weather, sports, traffic, and TV shows and movies and comedy and events like this and a lot more to come. And also you can watch it on NBC, the NBC Broadcast Network. So we did it in partnership with NBC Sunday night at 7 o'clock, from 7 to 9. And I think you're going to have a lot of laughs and you're going to have a lot of laughs and have an opportunity to also do a lot of good.
Byron Allen, thank you so much for your time. Byron, again, is the CEO and founder of Entertainment Studios and the proud owner of the Griot. Byron, again, we thank you for your time.
Thanks, Byron. Bye.
You're the best. Thank you. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dear Culture. If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you share it with everyone that you know.
And before we go, we want to ask our listeners, what's it been like for y'all in quarantine? How have you been making the space to hustle, grow, and stay safe during this time?
go ahead and slide into our DMs at Dear Culture Pod on IG or Twitter, and we'll be looking out for your messages. The Dear Culture Podcast is brought to you by The Griot, and this episode was executive produced by Natasha S. Alford and Kevin Y. Brown. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.